Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Schwartz of Fox Sports, former NFL offensive lineman, will join us. We will go over the day that was in the NFL. A lot of big games to talk about. Maybe look ahead to some college. He's a big Oregon guy, played at Oregon, so he's got a game. His team has a game, Oregon USC next week. Big one for playoff considerations. Maybe talk a little playoffs, but mostly NFL. And NFL is where we will start. What a day it was in the NFL, really. I remember sitting here last week, maybe a couple weeks ago too, where it was like, man, these games are dreadful. Last week, they were all blowouts. Last week was the week where the Seahawks, the Rams, the Lions, that 4 o'clock window all kind of flexed their muscles. This week, the 4 o'clock window especially was awesome. Ravens, Browns came down to the wire. Chiefs, Broncos came down to the last play of the fourth quarter, last second walk-off field goal. And Seahawks Rams was really good. That came down to the last play of the fourth quarter, a last second field goal, and that one didn't get in. And I will say, before I get to the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs is the most important thing. The punter for the Rams saved that game because that was such a well executed punt. So often this day and age, these punts get mangled. They either bounce into the end zone and you go back to the 20, or it gets touched in the offensive player, a guy in the punt team. Punt coverage team touches the ball or touches the end line or one of the two, and it goes to the 20. That was deadened perfectly, and if it wasn't, I think the Seahawks would have stolen, and that would have been a game they stole from the Rams. But I'll start with the Chiefs, and I'll go back to the Rams-Seahawks game in a second. The Chiefs now, talked about this a couple weeks ago when they were headed into the bye. You can say you're the best team. We can all think they're the best team. I think on a neutral field or really anywhere, we pick them against a lot of these teams. Patriots, Bills, Broncos, even though they just lost to them. If you're talking about playoff game, Mahomes against Bo Nix, Mahomes against Drake May, a lot of us are still picking the Chiefs, but you got to get there. You can't just flash your Super Bowl rings and say, all right, when did the playoffs start? We're in. You can't just invite yourself to the playoffs. You have to qualify. And now at 5-5, they are a real threat to miss the playoffs. And I remember doing the show after last year's Super Bowl and actually talked to Jeff Schwartz a couple days after the Super Bowl. And then again, when they were 0-2 this year, I said multiple times, you know what, is this guy really just going to go to the Super Bowl AFC title game every year? Or are they going to have one of these years where they're 9-8, they're 10-7, they lose in the wild card round? It appears we're headed there. Now, at 5-5, they're still a favorite to get in, and minus 220 favorites to get in. I think that is high. I think plus 176 to miss is a good bet. Chiefs plus 176 to miss the playoffs. I will read the schedule. It's not impossible. They're going to be favored in just about all of these games, if not all of these games. But being they were favored today. Just because you're favored doesn't mean you win. At home against the Colts, Sunday, November 23rd. Quick turnaround. They play Thanksgiving at Dallas. Home against the Texans, December 7th. Home against the Chargers at the Titans. Home against the Broncos Christmas night at the Raiders, January 4th. They're probably going to need to, at 5-5, they're probably going to need to go 5-2. I mean, I don't think 4-3 would be good enough at all, especially with their tiebreaker scenario, because remember, they lost head-to-head to the Jags. They lost head-to-head to the Bills. They've lost head-to-head to the Chargers. Now, they do have a chance to sort of nullify that and beat the Chargers when they play again, but the Chargers, the tiebreaker after head-to-head is division record. They have a bad division record now because they've lost to the Broncos. And they've lost to the Chargers. Meanwhile, the Chargers have a good AFC West record here. Chargers have played well in the division. Chargers might fall off the map. That's a whole other story. So that's, I mean, it's not a whole other story, but we'll kind of leave that alone for a second. So maybe they can catch the Chargers. You don't really trust the Jags. But bottom line, they're still probably going to have to get 5 out of these 7. And I think they probably will. Like life on the line, it's you always bet on Mahomes as opposed to betting against them, but at plus 176, I think it's more of a coin flip than that market indicates. I think the Chiefs, boy, it's very dicey just the fact that they're, again, 5-5 and lost to the Bills, lost to the Jags, lost to the Chargers. They're really going to have to dance between the raindrops here and avoid upsets. Turn around, I mean, this is a must-win game coming up against the Colts. The Cowboys can score enough to keep the game close, and that's the thing. When you play close games, you can get bit, and last year they just, go back to the same expression, dance through the raindrops. They won all of these close games. Just a ridiculously good record in close games. Blocked the kick against Denver when they were about to lose. I mean, not go through every game, but incredible in close games. And Daryl Morey, I think he's still the Sixers GM. So great teams don't win close games. Great teams avoid close games altogether. And the Chiefs just aren't a great team right now. Maybe it's, you know, it's just the nature of the NFL that these games are close. Maybe it's the fact that they're playing deep into January, February, all these years, and they're just, you know, body blows, it adds up. You get tired, you're picking late in the draft. It's just, the league is not designed for you to win Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. So Chiefs right now at plus 176 are a real danger to miss the playoffs. The other big game in Eagles-Lions going on right now, it's actually kind of a fun old-school defensive battle in a league where it's so easy to score now. It's nice to have a game that's 6-0, you know, going into the half or right before the half. I was watching Minnesota today, and that was one of my picks. And again, my picks, not good. Atlanta, up big, couldn't hold on. Minnesota just took the lead late, but was never really a threat to cover. But Minnesota was up by a point. They score a touchdown after being down 16-3. They get a 17-16 lead. And I don't like this about the NFL. And it's not making excuses for Minnesota. Minnesota deserved to lose. They were, you know, they were the worst team all day. They dropped passes. McCarthy was bad. And then they give up a kickoff return that puts the Bears instantly in field goal range. And you could say Ben Johnson, the Bears coach, played too conservatively, played for a long field goal. But it's a weird feeling as an NFL fan when your team scores a touchdown to take the lead with less than a minute left. And you basically feel like they have no chance to win the game. As soon as they score a touchdown, 50 seconds left. Probably going to start at the 35. They're going to get a first down past midfield. And all of a sudden, you're just going to hope for a turnover or hope for a missed kick. It's just too cheap to score. Again, Minnesota deserves no breaks. Minnesota did not deserve to win this game. Minnesota, completely the wrong side, you know, all day with that game. And just you give up the kick return. I mean, they did it to themselves. It is a weird feel. So it is fun to get some of these defensive battles. But the other game, I'll go back to it here. Seahawks with just a game that if you're a Sam Darnold apologist, Sam Darnold believer, it's getting tough. Now you can no longer call him a bust. He's gotten past that. A year and a half of playing as well as he's played, you can't call him a bust anymore. That being said, it's fair to have some real questions now. Can he do this in a big spot? Can he win in a big spot? He's just was so bad against the Lions last year with a chance to get the one seed that last game of the season. He was awful against the Rams in the playoffs. And then today, just a million turnovers. Now, he did down nine. I mean, the things that typically happen in the NFL, a team up by nine, they take their foot off the gas. Seahawks get a backdoor to at least cover. They cut it to two. And then after a first down, the way the clock was, Seahawks, give them credit, they had all their timeouts. They get the ball back after a stop. And you look up, and all you need is a field goal. Then, as I mentioned off the top, the punter for the Rams was really the unsung hero of the game. That was such a great punt. Give the punt team credit. He not only got it at the one, but he got it out of bounds where it didn't give a chance to, you know, trickle away and, you know, go to the 20, somehow get in the end zone. Because if they had even 5-10 more yards, I think Myers is making that kick. It's a good kicking conditions in LA. Myers is a good kicker. That punt really saved the game, and that would have been a devastating loss for the Rams. Up nine with the ball, and I actually thought, it's like 7 or 8 minutes left. It was like a 4th-and-3. I know you didn't feel good about Seattle getting it. Seattle had the ball 4th-and-3 in their own territory. I thought, man, you really can't afford to punt 4th-and-3 down 2 scores middle of the fourth quarter. But and I guess, you know, if the punt lands differently or you get a stop quicker, he almost pulled it off. He almost pulled it off. And I mean, just think about how bad of a loss that would have been for the Rams, though, to be up nine with the ball middle of the fourth quarter and to give that one away. But it's not the case. Stafford now the short shot for MVP. Darnold falls all the way to 50-1. I'm not suggesting chasing a falling knife here. 50-1. I know he was bad, but there's still enough season left where, let's just say he plays great the rest of the way, the Seahawks rally and they do become the one seed. That four turnover a game could be forgotten and forgiven. Considering it's middle of November. I mean, I don't know. It's 50-1 worth a bet. It's not terrible. I'm surprised they dropped the 50-1. Obviously, he knew it was going to drop. He was down to 10-1. I thought it might go, I don't know, 25, 30-1. 50-1 seems extreme, but probably not going to win. Probably not going to win. So, fun game. Fun game. Ravens hang on. That was a weird game with Gabriel getting hurt. Sanders coming in. I can only imagine all of the takes flying around. If Sanders had led them to a game-winning touchdown, how come he wasn't starting sooner? And, boy, all the Sanders and the Sanders apologists, and there's a few of them that just defend Sanders to no end, really. Josina Anderson, some of these people, it's tough to take. But 4 of 16, he wasn't good. He looked okay at times, but He certainly looked like a rookie that was a backup that wasn't ready. And the Ravens hang on, and the Ravens now. Steelers won. Steelers are dealing with a Rodgers injury, so we'll see how that plays out. But the Ravens now look like they've gotten their sea legs. Defense has played better. I know it wasn't pretty today, and it's been a weak schedule. And they were kind of lucky to pull this one out. Some buddies that had Ravens and Survivor, it was not easy. The Ravens are a factor now to make a run here in these AFC playoffs. And it's weird with the AFC playoffs where all the teams that you kind of trust and you expect to be good that have the big-time quarterbacks, Mahomes and Allen and Lamar, are all at the bottom of the playoff bracket, if not out. While all the teams at the top, you don't really trust Bo Nix in Denver. Do you trust the Patriots? Do you trust the Colts? Those are all the teams at the top, so it'll be a fascinating, fascinating AFC playoffs. I think the NFL playoffs just in general are going to be awesome this year. I mentioned how this weekend is a possible NFC divisional preview with the Eagles and Lions, Seahawks, Rams. That's a really well-balanced, you know, interesting group of four teams. And you throw in, you know, the Packers of the world, the Bears, it looks like you're going to make the playoffs. You know, the Bears haven't won a playoff game since 2011. So not that anyone thinks they're good, not that they'll probably win a playoff game this year, but they've got these wins banked now. And seven wins here? They're in good shape here to make the playoffs. So it's looking like a fascinating playoffs with just these underdogs at the top. I mean, you call them the underdogs, the Broncos and the Colts, the Patriots. That's really the trio where it's usually the chalk advances in the AFC playoffs because the better teams are at home. They get the buys, they get the home games. And then the lesser teams with the lesser quarterbacks have to go to Mahomes, have to go to Lamar, have to go to Josh Allen. Now it's going to be a fair fight because those are the teams that are going to get the rest in the home games, the way things are shaping out with the Patriots, Broncos, Colts, teams like that, you know, in good shape to win these divisions. So can't wait for it. Really going to be a lot of fun these last, seven weeks? Season does go by fast, but last 7 weeks of the NFL season and these playoffs are going to be fascinating, all the races that go along with them. Before we get to Jeff Bowers, I like Bowers over here in this Monday night game. I don't have any feel for it. You can't go wrong playing it over in a Cowboys game, so maybe you look to go over the 49.5. It is Cowboys in Vegas. Cowboys laying 3.5, total 49.5. It's weird. Cowboys, last time we saw them was on Monday night a couple weeks ago. Then they had the bye. Then they're right back on Monday night. I like Bowers, the Raiders tight end, over 73.5 now. One catch last time we saw them last Thursday against the Broncos in that game that was just hideous. One catch, three targets, 31 yards. He's so good that when he's one of these players, when he doesn't get the targets he should be getting, I think there's just going to be such an emphasis on, all right, let's not have that happen again. Let's get him 9, 10, 11 targets. Let's feed him the ball. Let's get him involved early. You can actually bet Bowers over receiving yards in the first quarter. That might be a good way to go because I think first drive, they'll probably have something drawn up where, all right, he's our main guy. Let's get it to him. Obviously, the Cowboys know, you know, he's their main guy too, so they're going to design to take it away, but they're not good against the pass. Going to be a renewed emphasis on getting Bowers the ball. I really like Bowers over 73.5 receiving yards. So that's the play, and I also like Chiefs plus 176 to miss the playoffs. As crazy as that sounds, even though if you gave me, you know what, life on the line, truth serum, whatever litmus test you want to do, they probably make it. Texans, Titans, Raiders. There's enough winnable games, and I don't know if they're going to be dogging any of these. It's just with the tiebreaker scenario and the way the conference is, you can't afford any more than probably two losses. I'm not even positive 10 and 7 going 5-2 the rest of it. I'm not positive that gets them in, depending on how things break around them. So Chiefs 176 to miss the playoffs. Bowers over 73.5 yards. Those are the best bets. We'll see what Jeff Schwartz thinks. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, Should Have Bet More podcast. We are back. Fox Sports, Fox Sports Radio, the Bear Bets podcast, former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, what's going on, man? A lot of football this weekend. Excited to talk about all of it.
Yeah, you know, it felt like a little bit of a separation Sunday, a little bit more this week. You know, the teams that are starting to round into form are looking that way, Will, and the teams that are not are, it feels like a lost season for some of those teams.
We'll start with the Chiefs, and there were a lot of big takeaways, as you said, but the Chiefs now 5-5, and I made this point 2 weeks ago when the Chiefs We're coming into this game, going into the bye. I was like, you know what? Chiefs are better than the Broncos, but the Broncos have banked these wins. And if you get a bye and you come out of this game and you win, if you're Denver, I should say, you're 9-2. The Chiefs are 5-5. That's hard to overcome. I don't know that the Chiefs can come back and win the division. Do you think they'll make the playoffs? 5-5 right now. It would probably take a 5-2 finish over the last seven. And I could pull up the schedule here. It's not impossible, but it's not.
Because the reason why, Will, is they've already lost the tiebreaker to multiple teams. They need.
There you go.
Jacksonville, Buffalo,
Chargers, because they don't have a good division record right now.
Correct. So they're in a bad place. And someone tweeted this at me, and it's sort of true. Like, they look like every team that loses the Super Bowl, it just hasn't affected them up until this point. And the real thing that is the difference in this year's team, all the other teams, is they don't win the moments anymore. They used to win the moments, right? Every big moment they needed to win, they found a way to win the moments. And this year, they're not doing any of that. They're not making any plays. And I know people point to, well, they're 0-5 in close games. And yeah, I mean, I said that too. But that to me is indicative of, Will, them just not making those plays. Think about tonight. And look, all these things add up, but just like late in the game, right? You get a PAT blocked, okay? Now, you might lose the game still with that PAT blocked, absolutely. But again, like, not great, right? You allow a long punt return, not great. You get the ball back tied 4 minutes left. You go backwards for 12 yards, not great. Like, those are the moments they used to win, and then you go back to the rest of the game. Bad Mahomes interception, right? Multiple 3rd and 15 breakdowns on defense. And so it's just not good enough. It's what the Chiefs are right now.
Yeah. And, you and I did the podcast together. I don't know if you remember, maybe a day or two after the Super Bowl, maybe the Wednesday of the Super Bowl that year, a couple days after they lost to the Eagles. And I said this when they were 0-2, I said this after they lost the Super Bowl. I was like, maybe they just have one of these years where they're 9-8. It happens to people. You know, it happened to Brady early in his career. It happens to teams. You know, it would be unusual to think, but it would be more unusual to think, you know, Mahomes is just going to go to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl basically every year. So maybe this is the year where they go 10-7. And Daryl Morey used to have a quote, the basketball GM, great teams don't win close games. Great teams avoid close games. And the Chiefs, you know, you play in enough of these close games, eventually the ball's just not going to bounce your way.
Yeah, it's not. But also, like, you know, I think Mahomes is going to get a lot of grief for like not making the playoffs and whatnot. But I think he's actually pieced together a lot of success when the Chiefs should not have been winning. A lot of it comes from him being really good. You know, they have no pass rush. They refuse to run the football, and it just is. I think the coaching. And Andy Reid's a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best to ever do it. Spagnuolo is, and he's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's the only assistant with, you know, a coordinator with 4 championships, right? They have other great coaches. It's not good enough right now. And all of it's adding up to really poor success in these moments where they have to win. I mean, dude, Denver's not that good. I mean, come on. Like, I can't wait to wager against all these teams in the playoffs. Like, I just can't. I cannot wait. Denver's fine. Like, they're the Chiefs are not as good as them right now. I mean, that's also the truth as well.
All right, let's go through the schedule. So you think they're not making it before we get to the schedule? You think they're not making it?
I mean, look, saying no is probably silly, but I don't know what about the way they played so far right now makes you think they're going to be a playoff team.
Home versus the Colts, at the Cowboys Thanksgiving, home versus the Texans, home versus the Chargers, and the Chargers might just be falling apart with all their injuries.
Correct.
At the Titans, home versus the Broncos on Christmas night.
Yeah.
At the Raiders.
So they're going to have to win, right? They're going to have to win Raiders, Titans, certainly, right? They're going to have to beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
I think they need 5. I think five might not be good enough. 5 with their tiebreak, with a bad tiebreaker scenario, 5 might not be good enough.
There's also the fact that you can't trust Jacksonville, so that's at least good for them. You would, you know, the Chargers might be falling apart. I mean, Herbert got dinged up again today. Like, they're just a mess right now. I mean, 10-7, maybe sneak in, and then you probably go to, like, Denver again in the postseason. If they're the 2 seed, or New England, or maybe Buffalo if they're the 2 seed. I don't have much. Buffalo's defense right now is so bad that I don't trust Buffalo at all.
And if you think, hey, the Chiefs are down and out, they're 5-5, they might miss the playoffs, and we don't have right now odds to make or miss the playoffs. If you think, oh, wow, I'm going to get a good number on them to win it all, think again. 9-1 at DraftKings to win it all. Not enough, right?
No, I just don't know. I just don't know who's going to win the AFC, though. Like, who you put your money on today to win the AFC?
Wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if they're going to win it. Wouldn't be surprised if those Baltimore Ravens are in there, that AFC Championship Sunday.
They're so sloppy, though. Like,
I know.
They're so bad.
But they've had years where I felt like they were maybe the best team, even though I never picked them. I always picked the Chiefs in those, you know, situations. Maybe it's just it would be kind of ironic if they came out of nowhere after all these years of underachieving in the playoffs and losing disappointing games. If this is the year where they're 1-5 and everyone counts them out, and rightfully so, and they come back and they're not, look, I don't know. I mean, I'll put it this way. Right now, Ravens at Patriots playoff game, who would you pick?
Ravens.
Ravens at Colts playoff game, who would you pick?
Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, who would you pick?
Actually, I mean, I've made this this point a couple times this year in different shows, and maybe even with you the other day on Bear Bets. Like, if when Goodell is bringing that Super Bowl trophy to the podium after the Super Bowl's over, is he handing it to Drake May, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold? Probably not. Like, can you see that happening? Like, I that's why the AFC is so interesting to me, because the Bills certainly have issues. It does feel like an NFC team is going to win the championship this season. You know, it might even be the team playing tonight right now. I mean, Philly is, you know, they beat the Lions, are 8-2. Like, they're kind of back to where they should be, I think, with certain issues they have. But the Rams, to me, are really, really good right now. I picked the Rams probably against most of the field in all of football right now.
And last thing on the Chiefs, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but these numbers did just pop up. Odds to make the playoffs are available at FanDuel. What do you think the Chiefs' number is? Odds to make, odds to miss?
I mean, odds to make? I bet they're still a minus.
They are.
Minus 150?
Minus 220 to make it, plus 176 to miss. Plus 176 to miss, I feel like, is a bet.
I mean, is that number good enough to take, though?
I think so.
Wow.
I mean, what if they lose this week and they're 5-6, and then it's like, all right, we got to, like, you know, run the table. I mean, I don't know.
What'd you say it was?
Plus 176 to miss.
176 to miss. Wow. It's yes is what? Minus what?
Yes, minus 220.
Wow.
That's what I said. That's a lot of benefit of the doubt. That's a lot of respect. I know the schedule's not bad. I know they're the Chiefs, and maybe 3 weeks from now we feel like idiots for even doubting them. I don't know. I just feel like based on the number, that's a good one. What was your takeaway? Rams Seahawks, man. Look, Darnold, you can't call him a bust anymore. This last year and a half, he's turned into a top half of the league quarterback, no question. But this is another performance in a big spot where he just disappoints you, and you can at least question now. All right, he's not a bust, but is he a quarterback that's capable of, like you said, holding up the trophy at the end? What was your takeaway in this game?
So, the thing about Darnold and the reason why, and geez, the Rams, man, I've never had a worse NFL year. I know it's hard to win sides, but like,
join the club.
I had Rams minus 3 today. That didn't get home. Bucks plus 5.5. They fumbled the ball down 5. And the Bills scored in the last 2 minutes, right? They were within the number the entire game. And I had Giants plus 7 from earlier in the week. And got pushed, which I don't... They were up within the number for the entire game again. They missed the PAT, right? That cost them. Yikes. So the Rams not covering is what it is. I think the reason why I liked the Rams in this game was I didn't trust Darnold. Like, I just... We've seen this happen, Will, where he turns into a pumpkin in big games. And it's the exact reason why I thought the Rams would cover because of it, which is kind of crazy. But they didn't, which is, I mean, the other team throws 4 interceptions, you should probably cover. That's crazy. They were minus 3 in turnovers. I mean, plus 3 turnovers and didn't cover. Ugh, just gross.
Was it 4 picks or was it 3 picks and a fumble?
Four interceptions.
Wow.
Interceptions. That's the problem. I just don't trust Sam Darnold on these big games, man. Seahawks have a good team around him. They can't run the football, which I think puts more pressure on him in these big games, Will. But I like the Rams a lot, man. I think they're Super Bowl caliber team. I think Stafford's winning the MVP this season. I think all those things about the Rams that it's funny because remember in the preseason before the Matt Stafford injury stuff, we was like the Rams, man, like they're the team. Like I think I bet them to lose in the NFC Championship game at +800. Like I thought they're getting the NFC Championship game, they lose again to the Eagles or someone, and then Stafford back stuff, and we're like, oh, we're off the Rams. You know, the sharpest person that we all know took the Rams under for everything, and they wrote it down to make sure we all know about it. Stafford's going way over. Like they're going, he's going like over everything. They're going to win a bunch of games. They won a bunch of games. And they look at the team we all thought they would be before we knew Stafford had this injured back. I wonder if they were just like gaslighting us, man. I mean, he for a guy who supposedly like couldn't practice all preseason, he looks pretty much okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's something to keep in mind with these summer stories. Remember a few years ago when I've made this comparison, like Jamar Chase's rookie year. Oh, he can't adjust to the NFL balls. And it's like Stafford's hurt, which I thought it was legitimate. It's just, you know, sometimes during the summer we need to fill content and kind of overreact to, you know, these things that happen. What other takeaways? I mean, McCarthy was bad for Minnesota. I don't know what you do there. He actually played pretty well at the end of that last drive, but just way too little, too late. What other takeaways do you have?
Here's my McCarthy take. So I think that we have to coaches have got to use tempo more with young quarterbacks that are struggling. Because you saw as soon as they went tempo, McCarthy was much better, Will. And with young guys, you know, the tempo helps for a couple reasons. One is that just – practically speaking, the defense is more tired, right? They can't sub. And when they're more tired, the offense has more opportunity to use their quickness to make plays. But I think more importantly, it makes you play fast without thinking. There's no like getting the play call in, thinking about it, regurgitating it, thinking about the line of scrimmage. It is go, it's get set. Here's the play. Here we go. Ready, hut. Like, it just happens, right? Will, you got to play fast. And so I would do more of that if I was Minnesota. You can't make your offense around that just too fast for as many reasons for that. You can't make it your offense. But I think when he's in a rut, man, like, pull that out in the middle of the second quarter. Give one third quarter drive a tempo, at least a tempo start. That would be the whole drive. And but McCarthy, to me, I just, you know, it's unfair to just, you know, after five games be like, oh, I don't like the guy. I don't see it yet. We can still have, you know, plenty of time to see it. But the Vikings, the problem with what sucked about last season is that you wasted a year of development. Like, you're going to go into year three now. You only have a couple more, you know, one season basically of cheapness and not really know if he's the guy or not. Lane Johnson got hurt again, man. Poor guy cannot stay healthy. Whew.
What were you prepared for a world where Shador Sanders led a game-winning touchdown drive? They probably would have gone for two. I mean, was just waiting. Oh, man, he's going to stick this ball in the end zone. Yeah. And he came close on a couple of them to go for two, and we're never going to hear the end of this, you know, one way or another. Were you prepared for that? Were you thinking about that?
I mean, I had Dylan Gabriel under today, so I was glad I was on that train. Good day for one of my favorite angles, by the way. Backup running back. These numbers are so low, man. I hit three of them. I hit Tucker today from Tampa. I hit Gainwell over. I think I hit one more off the top. I can't remember who it was.
What's the angle?
The angle is basically that, like, when a team is going to win big, their backup running back is going to play a lot. So, like,
why'd you go Tucker then against Buffalo? What was the,
well?
What was the
well, that was more of a Buffalo run defense then.
Oh, okay.
Run defense is terrible, but he's the backup. So you get in a lower number. You get like it was 38 and a half, 37 and a half. He had well over that. Gainwell's was 13 and a half. He had like a ton of yards. That's because I just think, like, if you think about it, most of the time a backup running back, right? A is going to get the carries if you win, but B is going to get him in like, they get him in like, you know, third and two in a 2-minute drill. They just steal 4 yards here, right, Will? Third and 15, backed up. They get 8 yards on a run. Like, there's just little moments these backups get. I took Wilson with Green Bay as soon as I saw Jacobs sort of come up a little bit lame I got him at a plus number two. Like the backup running backs, man, they're it's a good, I think it's a good angle.
What do you like here Monday night? Cowboys laying three and a half to the Raiders. I don't have any feel for this side or total. I think Bowers bounced back with a big game just because he was so quiet last game. They didn't get him the ball. Three targets, one catch. Dallas has a bad pass defense, so I could see Bowers having hit one of his, you know, 9 for 85 or some big night. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any feel for this game?
I don't know. I just don't know what the Cowboys are, man. I feel pretty comfortable in what the Raiders are. They're not very good. Cowboys, who knows, man? Like, they have good weeks, bad weeks. I did think they're such an unpredictable team. I don't know which team we're getting. So I would say, I mean, it's very public to take the over in a game like this, but, you know, the Raiders defense is not great. The Cowboys defense is not great. That might be an angle to look here, but I got really nothing right now.
Yes, 3.5 and 49.5. This is the second time in what, 3 weeks the Cowboys were on Monday night? Because it was that beginning of November against Arizona, just like 2 weeks ago. That was, I feel like the last two games they've played have been on Monday night because they played the Cardinals, they had the bye, now the Raiders. All right, before we move on to college, last one or two with college. What who's in the Super Bowl right now if you had to pick from, you know, each conference?
I mean, Rams. I still go Buffalo, man. I can't bring myself to pick anyone else yet. I just can't do it.
Do you think they'll win the division, Buffalo?
Probably, but I can't bring myself to take the, I mean, I'm not taking the Patriots or the Colts. I mean, the Ravens to me are so unpredictable. I can't. I just, give me the Buffalo for now. I mean, if I'm putting money on it, I'm taking Buffalo. I'd rather just live and die with Josh Allen doing crazy stuff and making great plays and what, YOLO stuff, than take someone else.
Oregon, USC this week. Oregon up to a 9.5 point favorite. Do they blow out the Trojans here on the road?
I took them 7.5 this morning. I don't know if I texted you guys about that. That number seemed very, very light. I feel very comfortable and confident with our ability to win this game. I started doing some basic stuff, but Will, USC scores 18 less points on the road than they do at home. That's a big difference. 18. It's not like they're going on the road and they played Purdue on the road, right? They played Nebraska's defense, which is not great. They played Illinois' defense, which is not great. Now, they scored 32 against Illinois. Iowa scored 21 first half points and didn't score again. Iowa had a play where they threw a pass late. Their quarterback stinks. And it bounced off his hands, and then USC picked it off like up in the air, like one of those crazy like interceptions. I just don't think USC is good enough to play and compete in this game for 60 minutes. I mean, Oregon, I think, they've been building for the end of the season, the way they played this season. And I like the way they're playing right now. And I mean, USC right now, I pulled up some of the Bill Conley's numbers. I mean, yards per play on defense are 74th in the country. They're 126th in the country in rushing success rate. Just feels like not a recipe to play Oregon very well. They allow a ton of explosive plays. They're not great on third down. I mean, they're going to score, I would imagine, some. But is that enough? I mean, their offense is throw the ball up to the two wide receivers. That's not a sustainable offense on the road against a team like Oregon. Oregon's going to play a ton of cover two. They're one of the best corners in the nation and just say, okay, I mean, you want to throw the ball up in the air in the rain and cold and windy of Eugene, be my guest.
Yeah, and one thing Iowa did too, they screwed every one of us was that USC takes the ball angle because USC won the toss and USC took the ball. You should have seen the look on my face when I saw USC start out with this. Man, that's our Iowa start out with it. I
would bet, I mean, USC will start with the ball this weekend because Oregon is team defer, as you should be.
Yeah.
So I would, if that's an angle you like, Oregon will not have the ball to start on Saturday. I can't imagine that. It's so weird because it's a terrible move analytically to take the ball first. I don't know why USC's insisted on doing this.
I got it from Iowa's perspective. I was like, you know what? They don't like their team if they have to play from behind. They don't want to be predictable. They don't want to be pass heavy. They want to run the ball. They want to play from the front. So I got it from Iowa, but for the most part, I agree with you. All right, last one. you're on the college football committee. What is the one scenario that's that makes you nervous, that you're dreading? Like, uh-oh, if this happens, I don't know who the hell we pick.
Oh, I mean, it's the Miami-Notre Dame thing, right? If it's down to one spot, what do?
I can't see them leaving Notre Dame out. I mean, Notre Dame's up to what in the latest rankings? I don't even pay attention to the rankings. I can't see them bumping Notre Dame. I really can't.
So they're 9.
Yeah, they're going to go from 9 to 13. I can't see that.
Well, no, remember, it's not 9 to 13 because the ACC in the group of 5, you have to be in the top 10.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So they're probably not going to go anywhere, though. Here's my thing about the head-to-head stuff. It's so funny because in the NFL, because their schedules are pretty balanced, and they have a slotting system that's already in place, right? Divisions and then the 3 wild cards. You feel more comfortable if a team is in or out when they play head-to-head, right, Will? But in college football, like, I think Notre Dame is much better than week 1. I think they would beat Miami if they played again. That was a long time ago. And for that game to determine whether or not you make the postseason feels silly, but then it also discourages playing that game if it doesn't matter, right, Will? And you want those games to happen for the sport. So pretty interesting dynamic there. But I think that, to me, feels like the thing that the committee would dread the most, because, I mean, maybe it's having a second Big 12 team in. Like, BYU gets to 11-1 and they play Tech and they lose. Are they going to be out, losing twice to Tech? That feels like... But I don't think BYU is that. I mean, BYU is fine. I don't think that they're, I mean, what their efficiency number is 17 right now. I mean, they're fine, but I don't think they're good enough to be a playoff team. But they might have to be in if this works, if it breaks out this way.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And
who's the SEC championship right now? It's A&M Georgia. I mean, A&M Bama, right? Like that. Like, Georgia gets to sit there and just do nothing and maybe get a bye. How about that? Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Bama's yeah. Now. Bama better beat Auburn, because if Bama doesn't beat Auburn, that's they're 3 out. Losses. They're done.
But think about that. Georgia could have a bye and not play in a conference championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard with these conference championship games now, because it doesn't benefit these teams a lot of times to even participate in them.
I think we're moving to a point where we get they're like playing games rather than championship games.
Yeah, that could be interesting. How would that work?
I mean, essentially, if you expand the playoff and you guarantee like 4 slots, right, for each conference or whatever it is, you would just basically you'd be playing for number 4. Like, if there's a 4-5, you play a 4-5 game. Like, can you imagine if it was like, I'm looking at the conference standings right now for like the Big Ten. Like, you would have basically, you know, it would be, well, USC and Oregon are tied right now. The loser of USC Oregon would basically play Michigan to get into the 4th slot.
And we have too many. I mean, if that's the case, we don't need Michigan in, and we don't need USC in. I mean, too many teams get in. We're watering it down to the point where it's crazy.
Good thing so far is I see that a lot of people on the bet splits are on USC so far. That makes me very happy.
Yeah.
I think USC will be the public side this week.
Back to what I was going to say about Notre Dame-Miami, too. I guess they could justify it with Notre Dame had 2 losses, Miami with 2 losses. Notre Dame's 2 losses are better. Miami's a good team. And A&M by 1 point with a bad call at home. Like, Miami, you know, at home doesn't help them. But 1 point to A&M, those are better losses than Louisville and SMU.
Yeah, I just, there's just, think about it, like, there's just no great way to talk about best loss, best win. Like, it just, right. it feels like it's such a tough thing to do when you don't have a concrete uniform way to come up with these teams. And I think in the end, we mostly get it right. And that we find the right champion, which is the whole point of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. Find the right champion is the point.
Yeah. And you can always poke holes in a team, and you can always stick up for a team. And there's, you know, not always, but if it's a lot of, you know, 6-1, half dozen the other. Jeff, appreciate it, man. This was fun. You've guaranteed an Oregon victory. So I know that'll work out well for you.
Buddy, I am, you know me, I'm very like, I don't do that. I feel good about this weekend. I feel it's a good matchup for us. We don't lose. We're 43-7 with Lanning. USC is not a team we've traditionally lost to. So I feel pretty good about it.
Even if they lose, they could just tweet out that they won. And what difference does it make? When you lose, you could just say you won. Who cares?
It's nice to just live in a world where you can just lie so easily on the internet.
Jeff, you're the man. Where can we find you?
Just at Jeff Schwartz. Jeff with a G. Easy to find.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Jeff Schwartz. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.